following is a recording for Manuel Perez of IR Strat on Thursday, July 26, 2018 at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is the Crédito Real second quarter 2018 conference. Good morning and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report yesterday. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 522 89753. It is important to note that the presentation and MP3 recording referred to in this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. He will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects in the second quarter 2018. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Ochoa. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. Ángel Romanos, our Chief Executive Officer, excuses himself for not being able to participate in this morning's call. I am proud to announce the results of a positive second quarter, setting new record highs for our consolidated loan portfolio, on the one hand, and maintaining the upward trend in our bottom lines, mostly our financial margin and net income. In terms of our business lines, payroll loans was the best performing this quarter. Instacredit showed a slowed operation affected by the situation prevailing in Nicaragua, and used cards advanced in both Mexico and in the United States. In the latter, even amid a weak auto demand and a harsh migration environment. One of the main drivers behind the good performance achieved this quarter was the resilient macroeconomic conditions in Mexico, with stable dynamics amid the uncertain environment resulting from the recently concluded federal elections and the ongoing NAFTA negotiation process. Regarding the former, our operating activities and strategic approach, especially for the payroll loan segment, remain unchanged as we have yet to observe any groundbreaking development in the industry or any factor that might have a material adverse effect on the company's financial condition. In fact, we find positive for our company and industry most of the preliminary standpoints on economics and the virtual president-elect, as some of the policies he holds are oriented to boost the internal market. Moving into the quarter results with greater detail, we generated 1.8 million pesos of financial margin this quarter, up to 30% from the same period last year, making it yet another consecutive quarter of growth. These results were largely attributed to the growth in the consolidated loan portfolio and the execution of our funding cost pass-through strategy, which more than offset the effects of the interest rate hikes in Mexico. Going down in the P&L, the second quarter 2018 consolidated net income posted an annual increase of 9%, reaching almost 460 million pesos, where the main driver behind was the implementation of our strategy oriented to the incorporation of high-quality assets, which primarily stemmed from the associates of the Mexican pensioners during this period. During this quarter, our consolidated loan portfolio increased by 34% and 7% compared to 2Q17 and 1Q18 respectively, amounting to 33.6 billion pesos. As for the results by the business segment, the payroll loan origination increased 13%, reaching over 1.5 billion pesos, following our commercial endeavors to support the continuing addition of clients with proven credit records and a stable income. For Instacredit, loan origination amounted to 740 million pesos, but it is expected to regain traction with the ongoing efforts to improve origination standards. The used car segment loan origination was 783 million pesos, mainly attributed to the origination in Mexico, while recording a resilient performance in the U.S. On other developments, our shareholders meeting approved the adoption of the non-regulated multi-purpose financial institution regime. As mentioned in this quarter's earnings release, this decision will not affect any way Crédito Real's corporate structure, reporting practices, business operation, and our communication with the investing public. Also, we launched Crédito Real USA merger between Don Carlo and Crédito Real USA Finance, previously known as AFX Acceptance. In order to expand our brand and deepen our market penetration in the United States and better differentiate our financial products from our competitors. Once fully implemented, this enhanced operation will bring further support to our operating efficiency endeavors and contribute to impulse the origination of credit. On another note, we are pleased to receive for fifth consecutive year the certification of socially responsible company from the Mexican Philanthropy Center. These awards reflects our commitment to align our practices to the best interests of the environment and communities where we operate. The results achieved so far this year encourage us to keep moving toward the goals set at our 2018 guidance, while remaining aware of the opportunities posed by the reconfiguration of the federal public administration landscape in Mexico. Nevertheless, the positive results of this quarter are overshadowed by the irreparable loss of Francisco Berrondo Lagos on July 14th. I have no words to describe the feeling of emptiness left by Paco's departure. His name will remain perpetually etched in Crédito Real. May he rest in peace. Moving to the financial information in more detail, regarding the interest income during this quarter, we reached interest income of 2.6 billion pesos, increasing 30.5% compared to second Q17. This variation was mainly driven by both the growth and the performance of SMEs, used cars in Mexico, and the payroll businesses. Regarding the expenses, the average cost of funds increases to 11.4%, an increase of 10 bps when compared to 11.3 in the second Q17, attributed to a higher total debt and the increase in the Mexican reference rate. The financial margin increased 30.4% to 1.7 billion pesos. We now fully see the effect of the repricing of all our products that took place in the last couple of years. Thus, our international businesses contributed above 34% to the consolidated financial margin. Provision for loan losses reached 455 million pesos during this quarter, representing 5.4% of the consolidated loan portfolio. The 173 million pesos increase compared to the second quarter 17 was primarily attributed to portfolio expansion and the Instacredit business, mostly because of the decrease in both Nicaragua's portfolio and origination. The cost of risk during this quarter remained stable at 5.4% compared to the 5.3% in second Q17. However, due to the recovery of the charge-off accounts, which amount 75 million pesos, the provisions line would have decreased to 380 million pesos. Therefore, the cost of risk net of this collection and past due charges would be around 4.5%. Commissions and fees collected decreased 7.5% during the second Q of 18 to 194 million pesos compared to the second Q17, integrated by 140 million and 44 million commissions collected from Resuelve and Instacredit respectively. Administrative expenses reached 907 million pesos during the second quarter of 18, showing a 16% increase when compared to 781 million pesos in the second quarter of 17. The additional 126 million pesos was driven by a 103 million increase in expenses associated to the portfolio expansion of the businesses in Mexico, and 36 million increase in the Central American administrative expenses due to the business organic growth. This was partially offset by an $8 million decrease in the debt issuance expenses and a $5 million decrease related to the consolidation of the collection process in the businesses in the United States. This quarter, the net income reached 459 million pesos, showing an increase of 8.7% year over year. Regarding key financial ratios, during the quarter, ROE stood at 12.5%, while ROA was 4.1%. Excluding the perpetual notes, which principal has equity treatment and is registered in the company's equity, ROE reached 17.5% in the second quarter of 18. This quarter efficiency ratio decreased to 44.6% compared to 49.1% in the second quarter of 17. This quarter, the capitalization ratio reached 44.6% compared to 35.8% in the second quarter of 17. Excluding the perpetual notes, the capitalization ratio reached 32.1% in the second quarter. As of June 30 of this year, Crédito Real consolidated loan portfolio totaled 33.6 billion pesos, above 33% when compared to the same period last year, driven by the double-digit growth in SMEs, used cars, and in Mexico, and the payroll. It is worth noting that notwithstanding the current environment of high inflation and rising interest rates, our loan origination was higher this quarter compared to the second quarter 17 and the first quarter 18. Our payroll portfolio increased by 35.3% to 22.7 billion pesos, supported by the pensioner segment growth, which represented 40.5% of the total payroll origination during the quarter. Almost 80% of the payroll loans originated during the quarter derived from our three main distributors in which we own equity. In addition, the NPL decreased from 1.5% in the second quarter 18 to 1.2% in the second quarter 18. Our SMEs portfolio increased almost 80% year over year, totaling 2.9 billion pesos as of the second quarter of 18. Also, the NPL decreased from 2.7% in the second quarter of 17 to 0.8% in the second quarter of 18. Our used car portfolio in Mexico reached almost 800 million pesos at the end of the second quarter of 18. That shows an increase of almost 50% year over year, while the origination amounted 431 million pesos. This quarter, the NPL was 0.7% compared to the 1.3% for the same period last year. Our used car business in the States reached 2 billion pesos at the end of the second quarter of 18, increasing almost 7% year over year. Origination for the quarter amounted 352 million pesos, while the non-performing loan ratio decreased 1.3% in the second Q17 to 0.5% in the second Q18. Instacredit's loan portfolio reached 4.7 billion pesos during the quarter, showing an increase of 18.2% year over year with an NPL of 6.4%. The increase in the NPL is mainly due to the deterioration of the used car business in the region and the Nicaragua's portfolio. The line others, which is integrated by durable goods and group loan businesses, registered a loan portfolio of 581 million pesos during the quarter, a 41% increase year over year, and the origination reached 1.4 million pesos, increasing 3.8% year over year, both driven by the loan group business. In relation to asset quality, this quarter the consolidated non-performing loan ratio was 1.9%, decreasing 30 basis points from the 2.2% recorded in the same period last year. It is important to highlight that Crédito Real's non-performing loan ratio remained way below the average industry. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our first question will come from Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Carlos, and thanks for taking my call. Two questions from my side. On the first one is, we continue to see strong loan growth, but the NII has been strong but below the loan growth. So do you think this trend should continue in the next quarters, or what should be the drivers behind to have NII growth more correlated to loan growth or even above? On my second question is on asset quality. We continue to see the cost of risk above 5%. As you explained, InstaCredit was affected by the Nicaragua operation. But when do you expect this cost of risk to be finally trending down to the levels you have mentioned before of 4.5%? Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Thank you for your call. Well, firstly, I mean, in terms of the, let me address your first question in terms of the yield. Yes, I mean, one of the good things about the concentration that we now currently have on the pensioner segment in the payroll business is the asset quality. That's the best in class asset, the best asset that we currently have. So, yes, it's true that that puts pressure on the yield because the interest rates that we charge for the pensioners are lower than with the rest of the product. But, however, that helps you, on the other hand, with the provision, when it comes to the provisioning, improving the asset quality overall. Therefore, we feel very comfortable with that one, and those are driving the growth rate above the average. Now, when it comes to the NPLs and the cost of risk in general terms, I would say that, yes, if you look, the cost of risk has been stable over the last 3 or 4 quarters, above the in the range of the 5.2, 5.4, or in the range that you see this quarter. But once that you deduct, once that you net that cost of risk of the other income that generates the cash collected from charge-off accounts, that yields us the 4.5 that we feel comfortable with. So I think there's room for improvement when it comes to InstaCredit. Yes, we still have to be how the situation in Nicaragua develops, but I don't see the cost of risk getting worse than it currently is, especially with the growth rates that we are experiencing. I don't know if this answers your questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Carlos. Just follow-ups on this. So what should be, I don't know if it will be stable cost of risk, higher NII growth, and lower OPEX to achieve finally the double-digit growth? Because if we look to the long road, it has been very good. So what is missing on the equation to have finally the double-digit earnings growth in Credit Oral?
Well, we are almost there. We are just shy of the 8%, so we are almost there. And it's also important to bear in mind that the TIIE, the reference rate here in Mexico, increased during this period over 70 basis. So that continues to affect. Also, if you look at the percentage of the financial margin that came from our more profitable products, which are those abroad, those products outside Mexico, today they represent 35%. So once that we reach to a normalization of 40%, I think that we'll be there.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernesto.
Thank you. As a final reminder, please press star 1 at this time for questions. We'll now hold. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nick Dimitrov from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, Carlos. I have a couple of quick questions. So the first one is going to be on the U.S. operations. And if I remember correctly, you've previously stated that the business will become profitable probably by year end. And I just want to double check whether we are still on track for that happening. And my second question is going to be on InstaCredit. If you can tell us where you are in terms of kind of restructuring that business. Obviously, as quality deteriorated there, you tightened underwriting standards. We are seeing some of the kind of the some of the metrics moving in the right direction, but my question is going to be, are we kind of done with restructuring there, or there is more to come? Thank you.
Hey, Nick. When it comes to the U.S. business, I mean, we are still struggling on the long carro part, on the commercial side of the business. That's honestly the challenges that we've been facing over the last year and a half when it comes to addressing our customer base and you know the harsh environment for our customer base that has affected us, and that continues to be the case. However, the positive part of the story is that when you look at the other business, the AFS, the previously known AFS business, it's already profitable, that one. So we are very proud of what we've accomplished so far when it comes to AFS, and we will continue to struggle with the Don Carro, but aiming towards our goal of making both of them profitable by year end. Now, when it comes to InstaCredit,
please go ahead.
When it comes to InstaCredit, we're not restructuring. I mean, basically, the problem over there was one particular product, which was the, you know, as we mentioned before, the Uber drivers in the region, in Costa Rica in particular, that led us to, you know, to be more restrictive in terms of loan origination. And now the situation that's been prevailing in Nicaragua over the last, since April, I mean, that has led to, you know, a stop the originating loans over there. Basically, what we are doing in Nicaragua is basically collecting the portfolio, which amounts roughly to $35 million. And we've been very active on that end, but we are not originating new loans over there. So that doesn't help you when it comes to, you know, to the performance of the book, to the overall performance of the book. We expect things to improve in Nicaragua, and as for the rest of the countries, in particular in Costa Rica, I think we're already on track to regain the dynamics that we've seen in that business in the previous months or quarters.
Okay, thank you. And if I can ask one last question, so your SME lending almost doubled year over year. It was up like 80% or something. What is driving, you know, that increase? Is it really demand for SME loans, or is it kind of a concerted effort on your side to increase exposure to SMEs? Or is it a combination of the two?
Yeah, it's demand. It's mostly demand. I mean, we're seeing a big opportunity over there. I mean, especially in these times, and especially, you know, defining new products for this particular segment, and we are very confident that that one is going to be one of the drivers of growth for the company in the years to come.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Natalia Corfield from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, Carlos. I have a couple of questions. My first one is with regards to origination. As you mentioned in the call, you have been originating at a very strong pace. If we look at the first half of 2018, you originated 59.3% of the total that you did in 2017. So if you could give me like more color, what can I expect for the second half? Is this going to continue to be strong like this? And how are you going to fund this is strong growth space? And if you could also let me know how much you're expecting collections for the second half, that would be very helpful too.
Hi, Natalia. Thank you for your question. Well, I mean, we are very pleased. We're very, very pleased with the growth rates and with the origination that we have experienced this year. It's important to mention that the dynamics of the business, especially when it comes to the payroll business, changed when we introduced the pensioner segment. You know, and that changed mostly over the first half of the year, because if you remember, when we didn't have that segment, when we didn't tap the pensioner segment, What happened during the Christmas break in particular is that we had a disbandment of the sales forces that took us a few weeks of the first quarter. So there was a negative seasonality associated to this. With the pensioner segment, our origination remains stable year long, and that continues to be the case for the, you know, for the, not only for the Christmas break, but for Easter break and the summer break. So that's why that continues to be one of the most important drivers of growth in the payroll business. And we expect that to continue for the second half. We don't see a reason for that trend to change in the next few months. When it comes to funding, I mean, if you look at the first, it's important to bear in mind that the most important source of collection that the company has, the most important source of funds that the company has is the collection itself. We generate so much cash that it allows us to grow at a pace, of, I don't know, probably around 5 to 10%, simply by the, you know, by the interest rates that we charge and the asset quality that we currently have. So that will be the main source of funds. And additionally, I mean, what we've seen is, when given the efforts that we've made in the last quarters, you know, especially with the securitization and tapping the international markets, both for the perpetual and the Swiss markets, I think there are a wider source of funds that we could be, you know, recurring to in order to finance the remaining of the year.
Okay, Carlos. And in terms of the collection, so how, how much do you have in the first half, and how much do you expect to have in the second half?
You know, Natalia, those are specific questions. We can address it in separate. I will tell Renata to send you all that information.
Okay. If I may, do you have the number of, for instance, available credit lines that you have, or do you prefer me to take that offline too?
Yes, we can take that offline. I mean, I could give you broadly the available bank lines. I think it's something around 2 billion pesos that we have on drawn bank lines at this moment. But in any case, Renata, we're going to provide you with exact information.
Okay. And a last question on the in provision expenses. Something that caught my attention in this quarter is that the line orders that is that refers to your durable goods and the group lending business. There has been an increase in provision expenses there. And as I understand, I think durable goods, you are discontinuing it. So what has been driving the higher provisions in those segments?
No, I mean, if you look at the growth rate in that particular segment year over year, it was above 40%. So that increase is explained by partially portfolio expansion, and as well for, I think when you compare that to the first quarter, there was a reallocation of provisions, but I will address that one in offline with you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Manuel Gonzalez from Signum Research.
Hi, good morning, and congratulations on your results. I was wondering if you could give us some color on your perspectives for the new administration in Mexico, particularly in the part of payroll loan, given that the new president mainly has addressed that he wants to like swipe off the educational reform, and I think that's right.
Excuse me, I didn't get the last part of your question.
Oh yeah, sorry. And also, I was wondering if you could give us some color on the evolution of the SMEs sector. I mean, are you planning to give it a little more weight on your share, on your income share?
Yes. Well, first, regarding what we expect for the next few, you know, for the next couple of years, at least for the next couple of years, I think it's that the new administration is going to promote internal consumption, and that has to be positive for the country overall. When it comes to specific, you know, policy intentions that the new administration has, I mean, first, they don't seem to affect our customer base in the sense that all the changes that he intends to do with the public administration, with the public servants, are not addressed to, especially those, you know, wages cuts and things like that, are not addressed to our customer base. It's important to bear in mind that we work only with unionized government employees. And if you look at what they intend to do in the next few years is that actually the unionized bases are not going to be touched or affected negatively anyway. When it comes to specifically about the educational reform, what we've heard so far is that they want to review the evaluation of the teachers. I think that they are not comfortable with the, as far as I can understand what they intend to do, is that they are not comfortable with the way of they are evaluating the teachers, and that's most likely the one that is going to be effective and not the most structural part of it. That's our view. When it comes to the SMEs, I mean, probably the most important part is that, you know, they represent roughly 60% of the Mexican GDP. So that gives you an idea about the potential of this segment. And definitely, if we have an interesting product for them, it's definitely something that we will continue to grow.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ramon Gomez from Fermatar.
Hello, Carlos. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, I hear you.
Hi, Carlos. Congratulations on a very good quarter. I have two questions. One is, first, is the situation in Nicaragua going to go worse rather than better in the short term? It seems to me that it's going to have the way of Venezuela, which has gone from worse to worse and worse. So, what's your vision on that? I mean, I think you have much more view than us on what's happening there. And the second one is, what is the status of the buyback program that you have? Because you did something and then I think you stopped. Could you tell us about this as well?
Yes, Ramon, thank you. First, when it comes to Nicaragua, it's definitely a challenging situation over there. As you mentioned, you know, in these cases, normally things tend to go, you know, worse before improving. So basically the decisions that we took in place was, on the one hand, you know, stopping the whole origination, and that's what we did, and focusing only on the collection part, and being very sensitive about the collection process with the customers in order of not over deteriorating the portfolio. I think that strategy is paying off. Unfortunately, you know, we cannot afford to keep all the employees, all the salespersons, so there's been some downsizing on that end, but only on the commercial side. And as I was telling you, you know, we keep focusing on the origination and being very sensitive about our customer base and about the situation that they are living. Let's hope that this, you know, that this improves in the near term. Last time I see, I think that they are intending to start talks or something. So let's hope for the best in that situation. When it comes to the buyback, yes, we were active for 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, we bought over 2 million. We were active for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, as I told you. And the reason for stopping that one was for our quiet period, you know? I mean, before releasing this quarterly result. And we still have to decide whether we continue to with the buyback program in the next week, or let's see the dynamics of the of the stocks
of the market itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Carlos. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ramon.
Congratulations. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Claudia Benavente from Santander.
Hi, Carlos. I have two questions. The first one is about loan growth. So far, the current loan growth that you have been posting for entire portfolio is materially above your 4Q17 guidance of 10-20%. So I was wondering, what should we expect on the second half? And my second question is regarding your position with development banks. How much of your funds currently has been obtained from them? And how do you see this position could be affected on the back of government's Project 18 intention to make more robust the development banks? And that's it for my side.
Hi, Claudia. Well, when it comes to the guidance, I mean, yes, at the beginning of the year, we guided 15 to 20%, and clearly we're exceeding that one. So I think that we're going to be on the higher end of that. At least we are going to be on the higher end of that guidance. You know, if things continue during the second half, which we don't expect any changes, we would expect, to be on the top end of that guidance. Let's hope for that. When it comes to development banks, I mean, right now we work with NAPIN, and we are in talks with the BID. And with NAPIN, we had a line, which we've had for so many years already, worth $1.5 billion. And we don't expect that one to change with the new administration. And, I'm not sure if that addresses your question.
Yes, or maybe if you have, I don't know, like read or have a better idea of how this working process with the development banks is going to evolve. Maybe if they are even going to become more robust, I don't know, maybe you can even expect that the credit lines can increase.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we have no reason to believe that the NAPIN line would suffer any changes in the next year or because of the change in the administration. I think there's a lot of uncertainty among them as well because, they are, one of the proposals of the new administration is to move them to Torreón in the northern part of the country. So I don't know how that's going to affect them, but we haven't heard anything different from them.
Okay, great. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Claudia.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. Our next question comes from John Howe from Morgan Stanley.
Hey, good morning, Carlos. Thanks for the call. Most of my questions have been answered, but can you maybe give any thoughts on, the M&A environment and, the usual question that comes up every quarter is any thoughts about further purchases of participation in businesses that you already own, Maestro and so forth?
Hey, John. Good to hear you. The M&A is a strategic part of the company. However, we slow that one this year, because all the changes, not only the elections here in Mexico, but also NAFTA renegotiations and else. So basically, all this is to answer you that right now, we don't have anything on the pipeline.
Okay. And in even some of these agreements where to buy Maestro at this point, it's just going to be on hold.
Yes, right now that's not going to change.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions in the queue. And the session now concludes. Thank you for being with us today. You may now disconnect.
Thank you all.